for the members, old and new. In the course of the paper on the journey to Il Convento, which I read to you a few weeks ago, I spoke of our being drawn to one image or symbol rather than another, often without understanding why. And by way of illustration, I described how, in the course of my journey to Italy in 1966, I was myself drawn by two images. One of these was the image of Saint Jerome. Since I described him at some length in the paper, and moreover tried to explain why the image of Saint Jerome, especially Saint Jerome in his study, translating the Bible into Latin, should have been of significance to me at that time, I was under the impression that, for the time being at least, I was finished with that particular image and could forget all about it. But this did not turn out to be the case. Within a few days of reading the paper, I found myself thinking about St. Jerome quite a lot. And the more I thought about him, the more significant the image of the old man bending over his desk in his cell or study or cave seems to be. It was as though an archetype image, once activated, possesses a life of its own and forces itself upon your attention, so to speak, whether you like it or not, and insists on continuing the conversation which, so far as you are concerned, is finished. I therefore decided that the best thing I could do would be to write another paper devoted exclusively to the image of St. Jerome, in the hope that once I had written it, and perhaps read it, I really would be finished with this particular image for the time being. At first, I thought I would write the paper when I was back at Papaloca and comfortably settled in my own study again. At Papaloca, I have all my books, and I would be able to look up all sorts of references to St. Jerome, as well as to the various images and symbols with which the figure of the saint is traditionally associated. In the end, however, I decided to write the paper here at Il Convento, partly because the image of St. Jerome refused to leave me in peace, and partly because the thought occurs to me that it might in fact actually be an advantage if I was not able to look up any references, since then I would have to rely entirely on my memory and my imagination, which might mean that my imagination would be able to play a more active part in the writing of the paper than would otherwise have been possible. True, I might make mistakes, for example, mistakes in matters of historical fact, but that would not matter very much. There are one or two mistakes in the journey to Il Convento. After writing the paper, I realized that although in my short story I had described the figure of God the Father stepping down from the fresco of the Last Judgment, I had not, in fact, seen any such fresco. In all the frescoes of the Last Judgment which I had seen, the judge was not God the Father, but Christ, in accordance with the words of the Apostles' Creed, from whence he, i.e. Christ, shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Similarly, after I had read the paper, one of you questioned whether Il Convento di Santa Croce was originally occupied by Franciscan friars or Augustinian canons, since he had seen a reference to Augustinian monks or canons on the back of one of the present-day Il Convento's opera programs. Whether God the Father or Christ should have been described as stepping down from the fresco, and whether Il Convento was originally occupied by Franciscans or Augustinians, does not, of course, affect the validity of the points I was trying to make. So that so far as the paper itself is concerned, the mistakes have no significance. They may, however, have a psychological or even a spiritual significance of their own, but that is a matter into which I do not propose to enter on the present occasion. Instead, now that those of you who made the journey to Il Convento in the hope of being ordained have had your hope fulfilled, let us go back over some of the ground that we already covered and examine it more thoroughly. Let us revisit St. Jerome.